before we get into today's first reading, we have to give you a little background. It's one of those scriptures that it just drives Pastor Tim up the wall, where they begin right in the middle and you don't know what in the world they're talking about. Today's first reading from the Acts of the Apostles is a continuation of last Sunday's reading, wherein Peter and John enter the temple for the afternoon prayer time, encounter a beggar who has been crippled from birth, heal him through the power of the name of Jesus Christ, and then preach that Jesus is the Messiah and that the resurrection of the dead is happening through his name. This infuriates the chief priests, the temple guard, and the Sadducees, who arrest them and hold both of them for trial the next day. So this reading, the Acts of the Apostles, Acts 4, chapter 4, verses 5 through 12 from the Common English Bible, the CEB. The next day, the leaders, elders, and legal experts gathered in Jerusalem, along with Annas, the high priest, Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and others from the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and asked, "By what power or in what name did you do this?" Then Peter, inspired by the Holy Spirit, answered, "Leaders of the people and elders, are we being examined today because something good was done for a sick person, a good deed that healed him? If so, then you and all the people of Israel need to know that this man stands healthy before you because of the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. This Jesus is the stone you builders rejected. He has become the cornerstone. Salvation can be found in no one else. Throughout the whole world, no other name has been given among humans through which we must be saved." And the second reading is from John chapter 10, verses 11 through 18, again from the Common English Bible. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. When the hired hand sees the wolf coming, he leaves the sheep and runs away. That is because he isn't the shepherd. The sheep aren't really his. So the wolf attacks the sheep and scatters them. He is only a hired hand, and the sheep don't matter to him. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and they know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. I give up my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that don't belong to this sheep pen. I must lead them too. They will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock with one shepherd. This is why the Father loves me. I give up my life so that I can take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I give it up because I want to. I have the right to give it up, and I have the right to take it up again. I receive this commandment from my Father." The word of God for the people of God.
Good shepherd gives up his life for the sheep rather than the other way around. Obviously, he's working a different concept of shepherd. Not a hired hand, but one who chooses to give his life for the sheep. It is a remarkable series of texts this morning when you think of the way in which God's grace is being manifest by stated conviction, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," by direct action, as Peter and John heal a crippled man and then stand trial for it, and the main defense they offer is not to alibi out or to ask how do you define is, but instead, if you want to know what happened, it can only be understood by understanding the power of the name of Jesus the Nazarene, the one from Nazareth. Powerful stuff. I mean, this whole business of being known by God is the genius of the Christian experience. Not being known as a people, but being known as persons as well as people. In our covenant classes, we were reading this past week Psalm 139, a psalm that suggests that God knows us to our innermost, having fashioned us intimately and personally with God's own hand, a master craftsman bringing something together in our mother's wombs. It's an intensely personal dynamic. And that's the genius of grace. And I want to share with you the transforming power of that grace as the first letter of John depicts it. And it's probably not a surprise to many of you that although I'm supposed to read from this text beginning at verse 18, that there's a text a little before it that begins the sequence. Three times in chapter 3, we are told, this is how we know. This is how we know, first in the text just prior to where we begin, this is how we know that God has loved us. Now, if you look with me in 1 John chapter 3, if you have it, the basic sensitivity is that God's love for us is what makes us the brothers and sisters of Christ. And if the brothers and sisters of Christ, who does that make our Father? This is how we know that the genius of love, that Jesus laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. We ought to be ready to do for another what Jesus has done for us. This is how we know love, what God has done in Jesus Christ. But the text begins here at verse 18 and talks about the urgent need to make the faith not just something we talk about, think about, but something we do. The first, this is how we know, this is how we know love. Two more will come in these verses, 18 through 24. Little children, let's not love with words or speech, but with action and truth. This is how we will know that we belong to the truth and reassure our hearts in God's presence. There's the second, this is how we will know, how we will know that we belong to God's truth and reassure our hearts in God's presence. What's this problem with our hearts? Time and again, we get this in John's gospel. There is, it seems, a crisis of conscience going on among the people of God. This is how we will know that we belong to the truth and reassure our hearts in God's presence. Even if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts and knows all things. Dear friends, if our hearts don't condemn us, we have confidence in relationship to God. We receive whatever we ask from Him because we keep His commandments and do what pleases Him. This is His commandment, that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love each other as He commanded us. The person who keeps His commandments remains in God, and God remains in him. And this is how we know that He remains in us, because of the Spirit that He has given to us. Three, this is how we know. This is how we know love, that Christ laid down His life for us. This is how we know that we belong to the truth and reassure our hearts in God's presence. That is not by word, but by deed, by action, by giving ourselves to faithful living and not just faithful speaking. And this is how we know that He remains in us, because of the Spirit that He has given to us. Now that's critical to understanding the Acts text, which Kent read to us just moments ago. Did you understand that perhaps the most powerful word in all that he read was not the testimony that Peter gave, but the description which Luke, the writer of Acts, gave? Peter, filled with the Spirit, was empowered to speak. Peter, filled with the Spirit, along with John, had been empowered to act, to heal that crippled man. upon trying to go into worship, which is about his everyday event. He wanted just to go to worship. The healing wasn't some conspiracy to thumb noses at the Hebrew establishment of the time. It was what happened when he was on the way to worship. But see, worship had to be put on hold, if only for a moment, because here was a man in need. Some of you know it troubles me when we send a deputation of anywhere from 8 to 12 people on a Sunday morning to St. Mark's. But I get over it. Why? Because what are we doing when we send that team to St. Mark's six times a year? We're taking people who otherwise would have been on the way to worship to go and share, not only in worship, but in service to those who are hungry and homeless. See, sometimes we don't realize it. We only notice that our attendance is down. But our spirits should be up, because empowered by the Spirit, folks go forth to serve and to share and to reflect the love of Christ, not by necessarily giving up their lives, but at least by giving up their time and energy and effort to make love something real and active, not just words and talk. No matter how blessed the words and talk are, no matter how much we enjoy the singing and sharing, making it evident is what transforms every encounter. And if you transform one person through the love of Christ, that's one more person to live the life of the kingdom. And the challenge to remember is, even though John sometimes seems to sound like, if you get it right, it always works, if you get it wrong, it never does, you and I know better, don't we? Jesus seemed to know better. Did you listen to the prayer that he had us pray? Forgive us our trespasses. Not just the ones long ago. As we forgive those who trespass against us. You see, our faith must be something real and active. Whether we go to St. Mark's or whether we honestly in our hearts find by the power of the Holy Spirit the gift to forgive someone who has wronged us, to forgive someone who has cursed us, to forgive someone who has forgotten us, to forgive someone who has abandoned us, then we have shown what it means. We've shown that we know that we are alive in God, who gave himself for us. We know that we are loved because of his grace manifest in the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus. We know that our hearts and minds are okay because the trust we have in God is what makes it possible for us to take the next step, despite whatever opposition might come, despite whatever scorn or ridicule might come, even as Peter and John faced it, imprisonment for helping someone. And this is how we know that God remains in us. Not just touched us once, blessed us, and departed, because God was so busy, God needed to get to the next or the next or the next. But this is how we know that he remains in us, because of the Spirit that he has given us. A Spirit that sometimes causes us to speak. A Spirit in other times will cause us to be silent, but only to be present. How many times have you wondered, what am I going to say when I go visit so-and-so in the hospital? What am I going to go say when I go talk to someone who's just lost a spouse like Charlie Coates? What am I going to do with this child or with this neighbor or friend? You remember Job's visitors? There were three who came to be with him. They heard about what horrible suffering he was experiencing. You remember what they did for a week? You only have to get through the second chapter to get this one. All 42 chapters, it's a challenge. But during the first two chapters, there's blessing. Why? The three visitors come, and they stay with him for a week, and you know what they said? You got it right. Nothing. See, this is one of those times when everybody can get it right. If you just sit quiet, you know what he said? Nothing. But you know what spoke with a volume beyond description, with a clarity beyond understanding? They came. They were there. And although they didn't know what to say in the midst of the struggle or the horror he was facing, they sat with him for a week. After a week, they began to speak. It wasn't pretty. They had all kinds of pre-established convictions about how things work. Not they didn't know how God loves them. They didn't know how they remain in trust and in truth with relationship with God. They didn't really know what it meant to have that spirit. Because when you heard them speak, they were spouting old religious doctrine and not living truth. They were spouting philosophical conviction and not honest to God understanding. The way that we know that God's Spirit is with us, it's trusting it and following it. In one moment, stepping up and healing a crippled man or a crippled spirit. In another, simply being quiet and knowing that by God's grace, our presence speaks far louder and more eloquently than our words. This is how we know God's love for us, that Christ died for us and was raised for us. This is how we share that love with another, giving evidence of Christ's life, his death, and resurrection. This is how we know that we are on task, because the Spirit is guiding us, upholding us, giving us courage and conviction to speak when the Spirit says speak, to share when the Spirit says share, to love when the Spirit says love, and to forgive beyond the limits of our capacity when the Spirit cries, forgive. This is how we know. But dearly beloved, if we know these things to be true, this is how the world, or at least that part of the world we encounter, will know that the love of God is in us, that the Spirit of Christ is leading us, that the blessing of Christ is yearning to embrace another. Last night after the Pelicans game, I took Larson Kleibert to the game, and after 38 minutes, we finally were able to start moving in the parking lot. After about 10 minutes, Larson kept asking me to honk the horn. There was a spirit, but it wasn't the Holy Spirit. I said, Larson, look at the cars. Have you seen one of them move? Well, no, but maybe if you honk the horn. I said, Larson, this is how we know that some spirit other than God's is in us. I was rehearsing for the sermon. When we want it our way right now, and anybody else, the heck with them. We know that there's a spirit, but it's not God's spirit. When we know what it means to be in Christ, confident of God's love, convinced that God is with us, even when we have to wait for 38 minutes before we can roll even one inch. We know that God is with us because of the love that he has shared in Christ, because he has confirmed in us the conviction that we can act in his name, and we know because his Spirit abides in us. His Spirit, not a honking spirit, a healing spirit. His Spirit, not a hurting spirit, a helping spirit, his Spirit alive in us. This is how we know. I hope that knowledge will become amazingly clear in your heart and mind this day. I hope it will embrace another. I hope that another will see the Good Shepherd alive in you. I hope another will feel the healing experience which Peter and John shared because of your action. Or perhaps just your presence. But I hope you will always remember it is God's Spirit that empowers and redeems and makes new. In his name we go forth. Amen.